This is Near FM
90.3. Senior consultant of marine ecology, Randall Cunahan, and he's with the APEM Group, home of Ireland's largest pool of ecologists. And they've committed to investing over 4 million in the country over 5 years. But they've warned that the government's goal to produce 5,000 milliwatts of offshore power by 2030 remains a distant dream. Oh, don't tell us that. We're hoping that our cost of energy is going to go down in some way when this happens. Hello, Randall. How are you?
Hello, Adrienne. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. So tell us about this, why you see that it's not going to happen.
Well, at the moment, it's important to start this conversation always with the outlook is still good.
Good.
It's not all negative news.
Grand.
But the government's goal to have five gigawatts of offshore renewable electricity, or 5,000 megawatts, is very unlikely to be reached, simply because we are, as a nation, still quite behind in what we need to do to facilitate the installation of this power. So we have an awful lot of developers here in the country working very hard to install, who want to install offshore power. But it's been difficult up to this point, just due to licensing and planning and various other hold-ups. It is now getting better, of course, but it's just, I think people underestimate the scale of offshore wind sometimes and the length of time it takes to commission it.
Yes. Well, I mean, I remember hearing at one stage that people were against this wind farms and whatever, you know, on the our lovely west coast, taking away from the view and such like. But I mean, this is a fantastic opportunity. We have such winds over there on the west coast that we can harbour this energy. But you're also saying that with the water depth and the grid capacity as it stands, I suppose, it'll make it difficult for them to reach their targets.
Well, that's true. One of the talking points that people love to make is that Ireland has such a massive sea area compared to our land mass, and that is absolutely true. We've a huge area that we control of ocean floor that we control. But the problem is that an awful lot of that is, you know, in much deeper than 100 metres of water, even, you know, down 2 kilometres in places when you go right offshore. And putting offshore wind out there is simply not feasible. So you are restricted, really, to your area, to quite close to land. And at the moment, the vast majority of installed offshore wind around the world is in fixed bottom platforms. So platforms that are attached to the seabed solidly by a pile, and it goes directly up to your turbine above the surface. Now, that requires, for the most part, waters of less than about 50 metres deep to install that kind of wind farm.
Mm-hmm.
And an awful lot of those turbines that are planned on the east coast are fixed bottom turbines, and that's where the majority of that type of wind is going to come from. On the west coast, due to the conditions, we've got, you know, you get much larger swells, and also because of the water depth, we are going to have to rely on floating offshore wind. And while floating offshore wind is absolutely an option, it's just not at the same stage as fixed bottom turbines. As an example, there is somewhere in the order now of 2,400 wind turbines in the UK North Sea installed at the moment, and of that, only 12 of the turbines are floating. In fact, I believe there's only 3 fully operational floating wind turbine wind farms in the world, 2 in Scotland and 1 in Portugal.
Mm.
So that technology exists. and we are making steps with it all the time, and it will be very suitable. We have, there are plans for those types of wind farms off the Irish west coast, which are progressing. They're in the planning stages, but the length of time before they're installed is probably going to take us beyond 2030. It's very unlikely that any of those would ever make that target.
Mm. And now, why can't we, you know, like they put the offshore oil rigs and whatever, can we not go further out? And, you know, why is it that we can't do these turbines further out at sea at a lower depth or a higher depth?
Well, the technology simply isn't at the same stage. With the oil rigs, they are really massive structures. I spend quite a lot of time at sea, and you go up next to one of these things, they are absolutely massive. And the wind turbines, the floating wind turbines, each float independently of each other. So each one is it's still a very large structure, but compared to an oil rig, it's much smaller.
Mm.
And so there are engineering problems that come with that. I'm an ecologist, not an engineer. So much smarter people than I tell me that the engineering problems there are quite difficult to overcome. But as I've said, they have made a lot of progress. The other problem, of course, is that with electricity, you've got to have cable routes and to bring that into our grid system. Mm. With the very far offshore oil rigs, absolutely, there are pipelines that go in some cases. In other cases, they can refuel ships and carry that oil to where they need it to go. You simply can't do that with electricity.
Oh, right, yes, yeah. Now, also, you've stated that, I mean, even if we were to exceed our goal or, you know, to get all this up and running and have all the energy coming in from these wind turbines, we haven't the capacity on our grids to avail of it.
No, that's true. So, again, there are great strides being made, but the grid operator in Ireland has only guaranteed availability of 5 gigawatts availability on our grid by 2030. So if we were to meet that, fine, they will be able to deal with it. But if we were to exceed that, which I think everybody wants us to go further probably than the minimum, you know, everyone would love to see more than we're planning and it to come on faster. But there may not be availability on the grid. The availability would depend on an upgrade of our grid and an awful lot of consultation and planning and upgrading would need to happen before we'd be able to get there. It also means that we need to increase our ability to either export energy or to store energy. Long-term storage for electricity is one of the major struggles when it comes to grid-level electricity problems. So at the moment, what is being put into the grid needs to balance what is being used at any one time. Sometimes you'll have people give out. You'll hear quite often with the detractors of wind, particularly when there's a turbine in front of them, saying it's a lovely windy day and the wind turbines simply aren't turning. That's not necessarily because they're broken. It's not because of any other of the outlandish sometimes ideas that people have. It's simply that there is currently enough electricity in the grid to meet the demand, and the grid can't deal with putting any more into it. So you have to stop turbines from turning so as not to overload the grid.
Right.
And that's the situation we're faced with at the moment. So sometimes we're producing too much electricity, and sometimes we're not producing enough, which is why we are currently still using things like peaker plants, gas peaker plants, or other fossil fuel plants to make up that demand if needed.
And what do the government and powers that be, what do they need to do then? How can we get this together that we have the capacity and the grid and the storage capacity, all of these things, how can they put them in place?
Well, the good news is that, you know, things are happening. In terms of offshore wind, we just last December had the new Marine Area Planning Act established in December, was signed in December, that allows for a new regulatory network and the Maritime Area Regulatory Authority to come in and to provide a more cohesive and transparent process to bring projects from design phase into construction and into production. And that's not where it's not going to end there. There are constantly consultations between the industry and between Airgrid and the other and other infrastructure companies to come up with a solution to this. These are nobody's sitting on their hands. These are currently discussions that are ongoing. We also have, of course, the rise of hydrogen. There's several green hydrogen projects that have kicked off around the country, several of them down here in Cork. And we hope over the future and into the future that these will be able to rise to provide new storage capacity for excess electricity, which then can be used later on to make up shortfalls rather than using fossil fuel peaker plants. So the planning is ongoing. There just needs to be, I guess, the political will to push behind these plans to bring more regulatory clarification into the market and to allow companies and developers to plan into the future.
Now, there's another problem as well, though, because you've stated that in order to help Ireland address, you know, our ecological and biodiversity challenges, we need more ecologists. There's a critical demand there. So how do we go about getting that sorted?
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, we are one of the largest ecology-focused companies across the UK and Ireland. We've recently been expanding. We have joined with several existing groups here in Ireland. So we now have the office we've set up down here in Cork. We also have been joined by colleagues in Woodrow up in Sligo and with Aquafact in Galway. And that's allowing us to provide as many ecologists and in as many areas as possible. But we are constantly trying to hire, and the difficulty is that at the moment, the talent has simply not available to fill the gaps that are appearing in the industry. So I think one thing that we can do is try to lure back all those people that left over the last, you know, 10, 15 years since, you know, there was a lot of drain over the years. I myself was gone for several years, but came back and was able to come back. And I hope that we can be able to bring more people back into the future.
Yes. Well, I mean, we know that all these environmental issues are, you know, they're right at the forefront now. We need to be stopping the ruination of the planet, and we need the likes of yourself and other ecologists. So you're actually asking, you've been trying to bring people into, and you've had a careers event, haven't you, to try to bring people into the area?
Absolutely. So APEM started in Ireland in September of 2020. We've actually been operating in Ireland since before that, but it was felt by the company that we needed a bigger presence in Ireland because there was a need for ecologists here and we wanted to be at the forefront of that. Now, timing is everything, and possibly the timing that we opened the office here threw up certain challenges to growth, but we have been working absolutely flat out for the last almost 2 years. And we were eventually able to hold a company launch there 2 weeks ago, which, as you're absolutely correct in saying, we held a recruitment event as part of that as well. And that was just an opportunity for recent graduates or even students in the area to come on in, to ask us questions, to find out what is needed when it comes to environmental and ecology consultancy, what they need to know, what they need to focus on in their studies, or just ask us general questions about the lifestyle and the type of work that we do. So we we were very lucky. We had a good turnout for that. We had people coming from much further than we had expected to be honest, which is absolutely fantastic to see. Mm. It's good to see that new young ecology group coming up and making themselves known, and hopefully we can bring those into the future and develop them as Ireland needs them.
Yes. So tell me quickly, what do people need? You know, if there are students there who have just basically finished their Leaving Cert, and, you know, there's a lot of them who are still, you know, don't know where they want to go, and they may have applied for sciences or something in college. So what do they need to get into that field? And then what would be involved in it once they got there?
Well, one of the main things that we find we need in this industry is just an interest. That is where you start all the time. If you're interested in ecology, if you're interested in wildlife, if you're interested in animals, that is a big stepping stone, because none of us do what we do for any reason other than we love what we do and we want to make a difference. Mm. So that is a big step. After that, there are courses in all of the major universities that offer ecology, zoology, environmental sciences. And one of the important things to note for me is that not to get hung up on the details. Whether you are doing zoology, ecology, plant biotechnology, any of the other ologies that can be involved in the industry, it's not really important which one you do. The important thing is to throw yourself into it, gain as much experience as you can. While you're in university, there's always really good experiences to be had. Talk to local community groups, volunteering groups. There are many fantastic environmental NGOs around the country that are more than willing to give people a chance. They're always looking for volunteers, and to gain that experience so that you gain a wider understanding of the environment. And then once you've got that, the technical side of it, the legislation and all those other pieces that are very important for consultancy, they will come through the university itself. The biggest thing is to go with your interests and to develop them.
Very good. Well, hopefully we get some new ecologists joining you and helping out with this issue that we really need to be looking at, you know, the environment and wind farming and all of that. If they wanted to, can they contact yourselves, or how can they get information?
Absolutely. Well, the easiest place to get information is from our website, which is apemltd.ie. And we have a number of resources on there. We have some blogs for people to see what we do. We have a number of our field scientists and other consultants have put up blogs and things up there. We have case studies up there, so you can see the kind of work we do, you can see the kind of lifestyle and that we have and the field work that we do, and that's the best place to start. And our careers hub up there has always got plenty of opportunities available for anyone who would like to join us.
Excellent. Well, I hope you get a lot of people trying to join you, because it seems to me it's the way to go now. It's the career that people should be looking for to try to save the planet and all species, animal and ourselves.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Randall, for coming on. It's been very interesting to listen to you.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having me, Adrian.
Not at all. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Now, there you go, Randall Cunahan from the APEM group, and their group of ecologists, and they look at biodiversity and environmental issues, and I think you should get in touch with them, apemlimited.ie, if you wish to go in that direction, but also to look up and see, you know, what can happen. And I have contacted the Green Party. I've contacted Eamon Ryan and asked for himself or some representative to come on and tell us what is happening with regards to our wind farming and our energy. And hopefully somebody will come on board to talk to me about it in the coming weeks.
This is Near FM
90.3.